If you have your Bibles and like to turn with us, we're going to turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And at least the burden that the Lord has put upon our heart is not to go through the whole Psalm, but just to deal with the first half of it. And I certainly pray that it could be a blessing and encouragement to us. Before we begin to read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that You would look down and bless as only You can. Father, even with the prayer requests that we've heard this morning, it's so comforting to know that You hear each one, that You know each burden, even the unspoken request, and that, Father, You can take care of each one in Your own will and way. And Father, we pray that we'd look to You, that we'd trust in You, and that we'd lean upon You in all of our needs. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give You the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Psalm 9, beginning in verse 1, it says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And I love that statement. It's not just a halfway thing. It's not just a ritual. It's not just something that's going over. It's with the whole heart that he is praising God. He said, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And you can see the excitement as you read the psalm here that this is something that he wants to do. It's not something he feels like he has to do. It's not a routine. It's not just some ritual. It's something that he desires to do from the heart. He says, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou hast settest in thy throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. And even some of this is looking at things that are in the future. I know that God has done this in times past, but there's a day he's going to do it forevermore. And it's going to be a surety that all the false gods and all the false religions and all the sinfulness of the world, that's going to be put away. That's going to be done away with. And God is judging righteously. And their name will be put out forever and ever. He says, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. One of the greatest things that I love about God is that He doesn't turn people away. You know, His salvation is a whosoever will salvation. And you can think about that in times past. I think about you even look at this day and time that David was living in and all the false religion, all the false gods. But yet you know that even in this time that anybody that desired to could become a citizen of Israel and trust and serve the true and living God. It was open to anybody. And a lot of times I think people have forgotten that. They think about just Israel and they think about maybe just the natural seed of Abraham. But yet you could become a member of the nation of Israel through circumcision. And then, of course, being a part of the nation and serving the Lord. Of course, putting their trust in God and His promise is how they would be saved. But yet, even today, you look at all the false religions, you look at all the things, and I tell you, God has saved people from so many different backgrounds and so many different things. I never get tired of listening to people that have come to Christ from maybe some weird background or place. You know, you meet people and they might have been atheists, and their family was atheist, and they were just raised not to believe in God. And then God led them in some way or put somebody in their life that led them to Christ. And you hear their testimony and their account of how they were nothing and how they didn't even
you know, reverence God or have any type of respect for Him. But yet when God burdened their heart and they saw their need, they turned to Christ and God was so ready to save them in a heartbeat. It didn't matter that they were atheists. It mattered that they had now trusted in Christ. And there's people, and I've met people who have gone down some horrible roads in their life. And you know, there's people that, of course, you come across, well, God wouldn't save me. And you know, I've even, over the years, and even doing work, sometimes you invite people to church, and especially whether it be with military or construction industry or different things, there's some people say, man, if I step foot in the church house, you know, the roof would fall in, or lightning would strike it down, or something, you know, crazy would happen. And I've heard all kinds of accounts. And I said, listen, it didn't fall in when I went in. It'll be fine with you. And yet you see people that come from some pretty rough backgrounds and yet they get saved. I tell you, if people knew some of the stories of people in churches, even within Landmark Baptist churches, if they would look and pay close attention, there's some people that have some pretty rough past. Known alcoholics, drug addicts. I've even shared with some here. There was a time that I got to go and share Christ with people in a jail cell, at a county jail, and have service there. And there was a man that had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And last time I went, and it's a church in our work, I'm not going to call it out, but last time I went and visited that church, I saw that man that's still there. And I tell you, God can save people that have been in prison. God can save vile people, wretched people. God has saved people over the years. And I remember growing up and having a lady in church that would tell us about how she was raised Catholic. And how she was taught that she couldn't own a Bible. She couldn't read the Word of God because people like her couldn't understand it. And she valued her Bible more than anybody I ever saw. And the reason she did is once she understood that that word was for her as much as it was for anybody else, and that God desired her to read it and God desired her to understand it. And she came out of that false religion and turned and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the difference it made for her and the difference that it made for her even wanting to share Christ with others. I tell you, it's an amazing thing. And I've known people to come out of Pentecostal, and you'll find people that's come out of Hindu, and you'll find people that's come out of Muslim. And, you know, a few years back, I met a man that was raised in Egypt. And we all know the major religion in that area is Muslim. And he would talk about, you know, what he came up with and the traditions they had and all the things that he saw. He said, but when you meet Christ, he said, you find out who God is. He said, they told us about a God who was not compassionate, who was not concerned, who had no guaranteed way of salvation, and yet wanted you to serve Him. And he said, but this God gave His only begotten Son that I could be saved through Christ. And I tell you, it's good to hear Muslims that have turned to Christ. Their testimony is powerful. And no doubt there's other religions out there in the world. I tell you right now, China sees about as many people get saved as anywhere. And I tell you, they're under heavy persecution there. And to hear their accounts of how they trusted Christ and what they've come out of and what they faced, it's a wonderful testimony. And yet they would look, and no doubt in their countries and even in the religions of their lands, and look at everything and look at how things are overthrown and look at the persecution. And by the world standards, it might look like at times that the devil's winning. But I'll tell you this, he isn't. He never can win. He makes a good show from time to time, but he's already defeated. He's already overcome through the blood of the Lamb. And I tell you, even read this psalm, and he looks at his enemy, and he looks at the destructions that they even do to cities, and how they tear things down, and even the memory of some people, and how they try to put that behind. But he says, but I know who's in control. I know it's the Lord and those that put their trust in Him. He said they're going to be blessed. They're going to be taken care of. In fact, he calls the Lord a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in time of trouble. I tell you what, he's also a refuge in time of good days. He's a refuge in all times. But I tell you, it's good to look at all these things and look unto the Lord and see His blessings. And I tell you, it'd be good for us as God's people to look out and see what a difference God makes in all the world. God makes a difference. God makes a difference. And what He has given us in Christ is so far different. I wouldn't have the time to tell you all the study that I've done over the years. And I know other preachers have done even more than I have. But you can study religion and religion and religion. And I tell you what. There are some times that people say, well, this is close to this. And this is close to that. And this is close to the things of God or the things of Christ. I'll tell you what you won't find in every other religion you'll ever study. You won't find Jesus. And you won't find a God who gave His only begotten Son to save mankind. You won't find that. Oh, you can find moral similarities and you can find things that even look similar, even as far as destruction and punishment sometimes. But I'll tell you the difference that you will always find between Christianity and everything else is Christ. And I tell you what, that's the difference that means everything. It's the difference that makes all the world. And I tell you, you think back and you wonder how sad it would be to be in one of these religions where you near about got to buy your place into heaven. Or one of these religions where you have to live so good that God accepts you. And I've often wondered, how did they ever come to that conclusion that a holy and righteous God could ever accept sinful man? How can you ever think that your works would be good enough for an eternal and holy God? Again, I've never found anything more self-righteous than that. I've never found anything that surpasses it to say that my works will be good enough to stand before God. That's as self-righteous as it gets. But for us, we say the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is good enough. The blood of Jesus can cover the vilest of sinner. And I tell you, look at what God does, that He accepts sinners from all across the world, from all different backgrounds, from all different religions. My goodness, God even saved a man that persecuted His people. And I tell you what, Paul's not the only one that's ever persecuted the church that's been saved. He's not. But he's an example of the love and the mercy of God. He's an example of it to everyone else, that it doesn't matter what you've done or how cruel you've been or what road that you've gone down, that God is a refuge to you if you'll turn to Him. God is salvation for you in Christ if you'll turn to Him. And I tell you what, when the psalmist saw that, I tell you what, when he understood it and he knew it, he said, I will praise Thee, O Lord. He was excited about it. He was enthused about it. I'm going to praise You with my whole heart. He said, I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. This is a man that wanted to testify to others, tell others about the Lord. Because this is something that went beyond anything he experienced here on earth. He is trying to express, I have seen love and I have seen grace and I have seen mercy that goes beyond anything you can experience here on earth. And he said, I want to praise Him. I want to show forth. I want to tell people all of His marvelous works. I want people to know about it. He said, I'm going to be glad and I'm going to rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High, is what he said. Sometimes people say we don't have much to sing about. Oh, yes, we do. At all times, we got something to sing about. We got something to rejoice about. We got something to share. And when we see our sins and we see who God is and what He's done for us, it brings rejoicing. I don't know how you can talk about the salvation of God without having rejoicing. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you talk about judgment without having something to sing about. Because when it comes judgment day, I don't have to stand before God as far as my soul is concerned and say, look at my life, God. See if I'm good enough. See if I make it. I'm glad it's not that way. I get to say, I trusted your Son. I believed upon Christ that you sent for my salvation. I look at those things and I rejoice. I'm thankful. And I look at the things in this world that a lot of times people complain and grumble and we're so upset about the sinfulness and the wickedness in this world. I'm glad that I can look forward to a day when all that will be gone forevermore. I look forward to a time when that will disappear. I look forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. I look forward to a body that not only never grows old and doesn't get sick and doesn't have to shed a tear anymore, but I look forward to a body that is not corrupted by sin. I tell you, there is so much to rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes it looks like, well, our enemies, they're at the gate. They're defeating us. They're putting us down. It looks like Satan's winning. But when you look to Christ, you say, no, it's just going to be a moment. It's just going to be morning right around the corner. And victory's going to be at hand. That's why we can sing songs like Victory in Jesus. We can sing songs about when the roll is called up yonder. While we're going through trials down here, we can sing about Rock of Ages. When we look at our salvation, we can sing Amazing Grace. And we can rejoice and we can tell others about the hope that we have in Christ. That's what you find in this psalm. He's looking at everything. And He knows the oppressor one day will oppress no more. And He looks at the oppressed and He sees a day when they're going to be at refuge with the Lord. God gives us refuge now, but I tell you, the refuge that's coming is far greater. He looks at the poor. He looks at the afflicted. He looks at those that are dealing with times of trouble. And He knows that there's comfort with God. I tell you, it's good to look unto the Lord. It's good to trust in Him. There's some who haven't gone through trials or tribulations in this life yet, or haven't faced things that are difficult yet. But I tell you, those that do know what a refuge God is. We know how good He is. And it makes all the difference in the world. And I tell you, it's something that you want others to know. Do you ever just walk around in the world and see people hurting? You ever notice that? There's sometimes you go to the hospital and you might be there for somebody else to visit a loved one, a family member, somebody having surgery that you're checking on or whatever. And you see somebody that's in trouble. And your thought is, do they have the Lord to turn to? Do they have somebody that they can cast all their care upon Him and know that it'll be all right? The person that they have that's in that ICU room or is in that emergency room or is facing surgery or whatever it is, do they know the Lord that no matter what happens, that the family has comfort? There's times that you wish you could take all the pain away from somebody. And while I don't have that ability, God does. God is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all peace. He's the God of all joy and a very present help in time of need. And I tell you, you find a psalmist here, when you read these things and you go through them, you find somebody who says, I want to tell others about this good news. I want others to have this hope. I want others to have this joy. I want others to have this assurance. I want others to have this comfort. I'll tell you, one of the reasons that we want to share Christ with people so much is we want them to have the same comfort and hope that we have. Hope that causes us to rejoice. Hope that causes us to sing. hope that causes us to praise the Lord with all of our heart and say, oh, if somebody would give me just an open door, I want to tell them what marvelous things the Lord has done. I tell you, that's the God that we serve. I tell you, there's sometimes, there's even people that I've had conversations with for years and years and years. And sometimes God does something good for you and God opens another door. And you're like, friend, let me tell you about one more thing that God's done for me. Or let me tell you one more thing that God can do for you. Because there's always something more to God, isn't there? There's always something more to rejoice in, something more to be glad in. You know, I'm so thankful. Sometimes you hear about the gospel in some of these nations that are hard on Christianity, and yet sometimes you get word for maybe a missionary in Miramar, or maybe a missionary in the Philippines, or maybe a missionary in Mexico or Africa. And I tell you what, we've mentioned Kenya a good bit because of the relationship we have with some of those people there. Have y'all looked on a map and seen what's around Kenya? Y'all ever heard of the Sudan? Borders it. South Sudan does. Y'all ever heard of Somalia? Borders it on the northeast side. Y'all ever heard of Uganda? Borders it on the southwest side. If you know what Christians have gone through in those countries, I tell you what, and to hear that souls are being saved in that area and people are still trusting the Lord. I read my Bible and understand that when one person turns and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's rejoicing even amongst the angels in heaven. And I tell you what, when I hear about souls being saved, whether it's in China or whether it's in the Philippines or America or Mexico or Canada or wherever it is, I tell you what, it's a rejoicing thing. But to know in even some of the harshest places in the world that people are still coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's something to rejoice about. There's places that people say, oh, that's a dark place. Oh, that's a place you wouldn't want to live. That's a place you wouldn't want to be. Do you know for some people, they would point to you and say, this is where I met the Savior. Think about how precious it is, the place of where you trusted the Lord. And for some people, some of the darkest and wickedest places in the world, they'd say, that's where I met the Lord. That's where I found grace. And to them, it's a place of rejoicing of where they were born again. I tell you today, we have something to rejoice over. We have a God that's worthy of praise, worthy of our whole heart. And what we want to tell others of all the marvelous works that He's doing. All that He has done, all that He is doing, and all that He is yet to do. And we want to say, you need to know Him. You need to know Him. I've tried to express to people, and I don't know how to express it other than saying this. You don't know what love is until you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. You don't know what forgiveness is. You don't know what mercy is. You don't know what long-suffering is. You don't know any of those things until you know the Lord. All we have is ideas about them. But I tell you what, when you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, those words have a deeper meaning than you could ever put into words, than you could ever express or explain to anybody else. And what it should do is it should cause us rejoicing. It should cause us hope. It should cause us comfort. And it should say, even during our darkest times, I've got something to sing about. I've got something to praise. I've got a refuge. And it's in Christ and in God the Father. I tell you, it is a wonderful thing to be saved today. And it's a wonderful thing to get to share Christ with somebody else. It's a wonderful thing to get to sing praises unto the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to bow our knees and pray. I tell you, it's just a wonderful thing to know the God that we know, the true and living God. It is a wonderful thing. And if we're not careful, we'll take that for granted. If we're not careful, we'll let this world get us down. And we'll act like we have nothing to rejoice over when we got everything in the world to rejoice over. And I want to encourage us today. Praise ye the Lord. Sing of His goodness. Remember what He's done for you. And also remember what He's able to do for others also. Remember His righteousness, His judgment. Remember His salvation through Christ. If we'll keep our mind focused on the right things, we'll want to praise the Lord with our whole heart. And it'll make all the difference to the world, and it'll even be a light to a lost and dying world. And I pray that it will be while there's time and opportunity. This is the burden that God has given us today. If you'll have anything on your heart, we'll invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.